WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Has anyone ever sent you a passionate love letter about how life is drained of all color and meaning when you're not in the room? In the new novel, The Love Letter, Helen, a middle-aged divorced woman, receives an anonymous love letter accidentally in the mail. Although she knows she's not the person the letter was intended for, she's intoxicated by it. She becomes obsessed with trying to figure out who wrote the letter and who was supposed to get it. In a series of comic errors, the letter inspires a romance between Helen and a much younger man who works in the bookstore that Helen owns. This novel about love, love letters, and literature was written by my guest, Kathleen Shine. She's also the author of the satiric novels Alice in Bed and Rameau's Niece, and she writes humor pieces for the New York Times Sunday Magazine. I asked her to read the love letter that sets everything in motion in her new novel.
Dear Goat, how does one fall in love? Do you trip? Do you stumble, lose your balance, and drop to the sidewalk? Graze your knee? Graze your heart? Do you crash to the stony ground? Is there a precipice from which you float over the edge forever? I know I'm in love when I see you. I know when I long to see you. Not a muscle has moved. Leaves hang unruffled by any breeze. The air is still. I have fallen in love without taking a step. When did this happen? I haven't even blinked. I'm on fire. Is that too banal for you? It's not, you know. You'll see. It's what happens. It's what matters. I'm on fire. I no longer eat. I forget to eat. Food looks silly to me, irrelevant, if I even notice it. But I notice nothing. My thoughts are full and raging, a house full of brothers, related by blood, feuding blood feuds. I threw the book out the window last night. I tried to forget. You are all wrong for me, I know it, but I no longer care for my thoughts unless they're thoughts of you. When I'm close to you, in your presence, I feel your hair brush my cheek when it does not. I look away from you sometimes, then I look back. When I tie my shoes, when I peel an orange, when I drive my car, when I lie down each night without you, I remain, as ever, Ram.
What effect does this love letter have on Helen, who accidentally ends up with it?
Well, it's very confusing at first and startling and I think frightening in some way, partly because it's a mystery. She doesn't know who sent it. She doesn't know to whom it was sent. It's very, very personal, and yet it doesn't relate to her. And yet she's drawn into some kind of very passionate, personal affair. And so I think it's both titillating and makes her feel guilty at the same time and makes her feel like a voyeur. And she starts imagining, looking at all of her customers and looking at the people who work for her and thinking about them in a new light.
There's a 20-year-old man who works for the summer in Helen's
right.
bookstore. What effect does the letter have on him when he comes upon it accidentally?
Well, you know, he has this boss who's very powerful and flirtatious,
Helen.
And she's a tough cookie, and he's kind of bowled over by her and resentful at the same time. But she is very flirtatious, and her way of controlling people is a kind of seduction, not necessarily sexual, but it's the way she sells books. It's the way she operates in the world. And this letter, I think, kind of, when he sees it accidentally, and he assumes it's for Helen or from Helen, that it has something to do with Helen, and it suddenly puts her in a completely new light, or it crystallizes something that perhaps he's been feeling subconsciously for a while, and he thinks of her as someone involved in sex and love and passion, and at that point he falls for her.
What did you draw on when you wrote this letter?
Well, I actually received a letter when I was, it was in the summer, and I was just beginning the book, and I had no idea of putting any letters in the book. It was just going to be about a bookstore and about a flirt, and that's all I really knew. I didn't even know who she was flirting with or who she was going to fall in love. I knew nothing. I just knew the premise. And I was sitting on my bed, and I had all this mail. I was at my mother's house, and all this mail had been forwarded to me from New York. And I had tons and tons of mail. And I opened it all up, and, you know, it was interesting, boring, whatever, things from relatives, from publishers, editors, all kinds of things. And when I was done looking at everything, I noticed this very weird, crumpled up, twisted piece of paper, which clearly had been accidentally shoved into one of the envelopes, picked up with something. And I opened it, and it was a letter. And it said, "Dear Goat," and it was signed, as ever, Ram, and it was typed. And it was not a love letter. It was an answer. It was a letter answering another letter. It was a letter after the person who'd written this one had been broken up with. It was an answer to a kiss-off letter. And it was very upsetting. It was very passionate and very, very bitter, very literary. You know, all these allusions to T.S. Eliot and what page on what edition you should look for which insult and things like that. And there was stuff. I mean, I knew it wasn't for me because there was stuff about alarm clocks and, you know, all these allusions to personal little incidents that had occurred between these two people. I didn't know what they were. But even so, I felt that somehow it had come to me. It was mine. I was guilty in some way. And I also thought, well, now which of my friends is having an affair? Because this is the letter of two people having some kind of illicit affair. And then I couldn't tell if it was from a man to a woman to a man to a man, or a woman to a woman. All I could tell was this letter came from someone in New York. I knew it wasn't from my brother in California. It wasn't a California letter. This is the only identification I could make.
Did you ever find out?
No, I've never found out. It tortured me for days. I didn't tell anyone. I was very embarrassed because I thought, what if it is one of my friends and I know this secret about them that I don't want to know? And I became obsessed with it. And finally, at one point, I just tore it into shreds.
Like your character does in the book.
Just like my character. And I threw it away. And then I called my husband and I told him about it after I'd torn it up. And he said, "Are you crazy? Get it back. It's really interesting." And I said, no, it's bad. I don't want to know. And then I was sitting there thinking and I thought, oh, this is a novel. This is a mystery. And this is my book.
Did you ever write or get passionate love letters?
Certainly not recently.
Well, you've been married a long time.
Yes. And one of these cases was sort of interesting, I think, because I guess it was my senior year of high school, and I went away for the summer. It was sometime around then. And I had a boyfriend who was Israeli and was living in Connecticut. He was blind, and he was there to get operations on his eyes, hoping that they would get better. And I went away for the summer to Italy to some summer program, and I missed him terribly. And I would write these very passionate love letters, which, of course, had to be read out loud to him by the family he was staying with, who were just these regular suburban people, you know, and it's very, very nice, obviously, to take in this guy. And so here was this nice middle-class, middle-aged, regular, conventional woman who had to read, you know, these hot and heavy teenage love letters to this Israeli. He was furious. And of course, I was, you know, when you're that age, you just don't think and don't care. He was really very annoyed. And then he'd have to dictate his letters back to me. So he would sort of make fun of me in them. So that was very interesting. And later I used to write. I had a boyfriend who lived in another city, and we would write. And I drew on some of those letters for this book. I still had them. They're quite funny.
My guest is Kathleen Shine. Her new novel is called The Love Letter. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with novelist Kathleen Shine. Her new book is called The Love Letter. The main character, Helen, was in a car accident when she was young, when she was 16.
Right.
I know that also happened to you.
Right.
When you were young. I'd like you to read the paragraph about the accident in your novel, The Love Letter.
Okay. At 16, the accident had made her merely angry. Lying in the hospital in the emergency room, as doctors tried to staunch the flow of blood from her lacerated face, she had wondered if her belt, her favorite belt, was ruined. It was so inconvenient, a car crash. How dare this happen? She had almost died, but all she knew, as she almost died, was a prickly irritation, as if death were a curfew, a punishment she could talk her parents out of. Now, 25 years later, she understood that she had almost died. She had even gotten used to the idea. But familiarity bred horror, not contempt. Death lived in the world. Disaster descended from the mountaintop. They were real, death and disaster. Worse, they were plausible. If one let one's wild teenage boyfriend drive one around a sharp curve on a country road at night at 70 miles an hour, one went through a windshield. Therefore, one drove oneself. This was Helen's credo. It extended beyond automobiles. She could have crocheted it on a pillow, hung a sign in the store, tattooed it on her chest. I'll drive.
What happened to you when you were in your car accident?
Pretty much the same thing. I've never written about the car accident. I've never used it, although I've often thought of using it, but it really took a long time to kind of settle in. I was 16, and, you know, I was out with some friends, and we were driving too fast, and I went through the windshield. And as I left the driveway, as they picked me up, my father said, "Wear your seatbelt," and I said, "Oh, Dad," and didn't put it on and went through the windshield. I broke my neck. In fact, I broke the same vertebrae that Christopher Reeves broke.
But,
whoa. Yeah, but mine, I think, just cracked. So I was in traction for a month, and then I was okay. And my face was all cut up, and I really actually almost died. And I literally remember lying there thinking, I hope my belt is okay. I hope it's not too bloody. And then having a fit when I wasn't allowed to go to Woodstock. I mean, I was in the hospital with things screwed into my skull called the Crutchfield tongs holding me down in traction, and I wanted to go to Woodstock. And I kept saying, put me in a body cast. This is, I can go. My friends will put me in the back of a van. It'll be fine. And my doctor said, your neck is broken. And I said, no, it's not. I broke my top two vertebrae. And he said, your vertebrae are your neck. You have a broken neck.
Well, your first novel, Alice in Bed, was about a teenager who spends about a year in the hospital with this mysterious and very painful paralysis of her legs.
Right. And that is autobiographical. What it turned out later it was from was taking cortisone for something else that I had, and it was a side effect. It was really nightmarish. And that book is kind of a black comedy, as well it should be. It was quite something. But, you know, writing about it was really sort of fun.
You know, your character, after her car accident, her motto is that she's going to drive. What does she say?
I'll drive.
So were you changed in that way, too, that you wanted to be more control?
Well, I wanted to be in more control. But the difference between me and Helen, my character, is that Helen actually is in more control.
You just want to be.
I see myself as a kind of lazy perfectionist. I remember sitting in my living room one day, and I was looking up, and the curtains on the curtain rod were cockeyed. Like, one side was way over to the side where it shouldn't have been. And I thought, that's awful, and that's driving me crazy. And then I thought, that has been driving me crazy for 2 years, and I haven't touched it. And so that's the difference between Helen and me. Helen would have gotten on a ladder and fixed it, and I just stare at it and think, that's a problem.
Kathleen Shine, her new novel is called The Love Letter. This is Fresh Air.